need is Jesus, amen? Until you have him, you don't know that he's all you need. But let me tell you one thing, that when he's all you have, you'll discover he's all you need.
That's right.
Because some of us have been down to the bottom, and I'm going to tell you, down at the bottom, there's solid ground. And that solid ground is Jesus. And he will help us through our most difficult times together as we trust him. Well, as I shared last Sunday, I'm going to just this Sunday challenge us, the church. I'm going to preach on let the church be the church this morning. Let the church be the church. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, okay, what is the purpose of this church? Why do we have church? And let me tell you what, the purpose of this church is the purpose it should be of every one of us. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you should do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do here in this church ought to bring glory to God. Amen? And if we're about that, God will bless us. We have had a great year this last year. But you know what? God's not through yet. God still wants to work mightily among us. We have seen this last year in our budget year that ended in September, we gave $162,000 to missions. Now I want you to know something. I believe this year, at the end of September, we're going to give $200,000 to missions, because we've already put $25,000 in our GoTel fund. And you see that world map over there? Our desire is our members will go to all the world and preach the gospel. That not only we would do it in all the world, by the way, the world includes us here in Jerusalem. Amen? We're to share the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. God's called us to do that. And everything we do in this church ought to point people to Jesus. Amen? When we have our basketball league that's going on right now, they hear a devotional every halftime. The kids at their practice hear a devotional that the coaches teach them about Jesus. Then we're going to have someone at the end of the season come and share the gospel. And we're believing like every other season, we're going to have children come to know the Lord. We're involved in a mentoring program for seminary students that's going to start taking place this week. We're going to vote tonight. Some of those students, they're going to join us in that. We're still looking for a couple of more. And God's opening up doors there, and he will open up doors. But we're going to mentor them and train them in the ministry that they may be able to continue in the work of God. Reverend Dr. Wes Hawkins and Dr. Jimmy Draper coming the end of March to do a conference at seminary and then here at our church and helping seminary students understand the ministry and the call of God on their life. Everything we do, whether it be basketball or a conference or mentoring or whether it be women's ministry or whether it be men's ministry or whether we go on a mission trip this summer to Africa, to Kenya, Africa, or to Brownsville, or to camps this summer, youth camp and children's camp, vacation Bible school, everything we do ought to point people to Jesus. If we're not pointing people to Jesus, church, we're not being a church. We're to let the church be the church. And when the church is the church, God is honored above measure. You know that word church, in the Greek language, it's the word ekklesia. It comes from two Greek words, the word ek, which means out of, and the word kaleo, which means to call. In other words, we, the church, are the called out ones. We are called out from the world to live for Jesus, to bring glory to his name. That's the reason the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. That's what we're about, church. We're about bringing glory to God. Think about that, church. 119 times in the Greek language is that word church used. But let me tell you something. 113 times it's used of a local body of believers. You see, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, the church at Smyrna, the church at Thyatira, all of these different churches, they were individual churches that God used. The first church there at Pentecost, they had no church building. They had no pastor. They had no deacons. They had no church constitution. But let me tell you what they had. They had Jesus, and that was sufficient. Let me tell you what. It isn't about us, folks. It's about him. And if we understand that, we'll continue to do what Christ has called us to do. Do you remember whenever the disciples met with the Lord in Matthew 16? And I'm not going to preach from there. I just want to mention it briefly here. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And boy, some of them say, "Oh, well, you're John the Baptist, or you're Elijah, or you're this or that." And Peter, by the way, Peter messed up sometimes, but he got an A+ on this answer. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christos, the Son of the living God. Remember what the Lord said? He says, "Upon this rock." And by the way, the rock he's talking about, by the way, the rock that Peter was, he was Petros. That's what Peter, it means Petros. But the rock he's talking about is the word Petra, which means a huge boulder. Okay? It's a little rock. It's a huge rock. He says, "Upon this rock." It wasn't upon Peter. We don't need St. Peter, folks. We need Jesus. He says, "Upon this confession of faith, I will build my church." By the way, that's very important. We understand that, because let me tell you, the foundation of any church ought to be Jesus Christ. And the foundation of any individual here that knows Christ, your foundation ought to be Jesus Christ. In fact, you know over there in 1 Corinthians 3, as it talks about the fact we're going to appear one day before the bema seat at the judgment seat of Christ, it says there is no other foundation that is laid except Jesus Christ. Listen to me today, church. If you have any other foundation, if any other thing's more important than Jesus, if any other purpose, any other person, any other thing in your life that's more important with Jesus, you need to get rid of it now. You need to put him first place. And when you put him first place, we'll be the church that God's called us to be. And I tell you, the church is not this building. This building could burn tonight, and we'd still have Lane Prairie Baptist Church. This church has been in existence in 2021, just a couple of years away here, year and a half away. We're going to be in existence for 150 years. Think about that just a minute. Think about the people who came before us. They would have quit unless they had focused on Jesus. Sometimes they had 20 people here. Sometimes they had 30, 35 people. I know there were times they grew weary, but they didn't give up. They focused on Jesus. The church is not a building. The church is not a bastion of righteousness, a showcase of sanctimonious saints, but a church is for hurting sinners like you and I. That's what the church is for. And we're being about that ministry. It's not some brawling country club. And by the way, some people have made it that. They like to promote their church. Let me tell you what we need to be promoting. We need to be promoting Jesus. And when we do that, God will be honored. But he says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." By the way, this isn't the pastor church. In fact, my name isn't even on the sign out there. Purposely, I said, I don't want my name on the sign, because it isn't about me. It isn't about the deacons. It isn't about, and by the way, I've gone to church before, and I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, I want you to know, Pastor, I'm a charter member." What does that mean? Well, it means they were there when it started. But you know what? That means nothing. What matters is Jesus there? Is his presence permeating this place? And I tell you, I feel his presence every Sunday. I don't know about you. I feel that he's here with us. But we're to be a part of that. He says it's his church, not our church. And when it's Christ's church, we honor him. When it's Christ's church, we do what he's called us to do. His purposes and plans will be accomplished. He says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you what. I don't care what the devil throws our way. Ours is the victory in Jesus. If you have a copy of the scripture this morning, I want to take you back to the key verse on our bulletin. We've had on that bulletin for 21 years now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go there with me this morning. 2 Corinthians is one of the most personal letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. He shares about his trials and his troubles. Paul was very honest. He said, listen, I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. But we learn in 1 Corinthians that thank God he's the God of all comfort. In chapter 1, verse 3, we learn that thanks be to God who always brings us into triumph in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 14, we learn that he is sufficient, that our sufficiency is of God and not of ourselves in chapter 3, verse 5. But then in chapter 4, look at it with me. Chapter 4, verse 5, that's on the front of our bulletin. Why? Because we want that to be our focus, church. And today I want to remind us of our focus. You know, sometimes we got to remind ourselves of our focus. I remember years ago, I heard a story about the great coach from Green Bay whose team had just gotten beat so bad that they stunk up the place. I mean, they lost all over the place. They didn't have any defense, any offense, no special teams. Nothing was working. And he got up in the next practice. He had a football in his hand. He said, men, this is a football. You know what he was doing? He was going back to the basics. And that's what the church needs to do from time to time. We need to remind ourselves why we're here. We need to remind ourselves what we're to be about. We need to remind ourselves who we communicate and what we're about in the ministry of that God has given us. But in chapter 4, look at it with me together in verse 1. Therefore, referring back to everything he mentioned earlier, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, gets this, in the sight of God. Folks, let me tell you something. Everything we do is in the sight of God. Remember that as we live for him. And then it says there, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. By the way, there are some people that are like that this morning. Listen to me. Your eyes have been blinded by the devil. He's told you that you don't need Jesus. He's told you to wait for another time. Wait till tomorrow or next week or next month. He's told you that Jesus is not the answer. But I'm going to tell you today, those are lies. The devil is a liar. I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter is, you need Jesus more than you need anything else. You need him to fill the void that's in your life. You might have been filling with things and with purposes and with people, but you're still empty this morning. You still need the Savior, Jesus, in your life. In a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to walk this aisle, take a pastor by the hand, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. That's all you got to say. And we're going to sit down here on this front chair, and we're going to share with you about how you can meet the Lord. Because notice what he says here. I want you to see this. Verse 5. Here's the key verse on our bulletin. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this vessel in earthen vessels, or treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Did you see that, church? It isn't about us. You know, too many people today are concerned about themselves. They look for churches. You know how they look for churches? They say, well, what can that church do for me? By the way, if I'm looking for a church, I want to say, how can I help that church? How can I serve in that church? Not what can the church do for me? Because I'm going to tell you, in this church, we don't all agree on everything. I've told y'all before, you get 10 Baptists together, you'll have 11 different opinions. Because one of them's a little schizophrenic, you know. But listen to me. I want you to understand this. I know people have opinions, but let me tell you, the key thing is that we need to be magnifying the Lord, lifting him up. You say, well, I don't like the songs we sing. I don't like the music. I don't like the preacher. I don't like this. I don't like that. I tell you what, I just pray that you'd build a bridge and get over it. Because it's not about you. It's about him. And when it's about him, you won't get caught up in those exterior things. You won't get caught up in being a critical person and always having a negative word. God's doing too much in our church for there to be a negative word. We ought to be lifting up the Lord. We ought to be magnifying him. And Paul, I tell you what, twice in this text, he says, I faint not. Verse 1, we faint not. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Did you see that? He says, I'm not fainting. And by the way, this doesn't mean that Paul ain't going through trouble. Look down at verse 8 with me. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul says, boy, I'm going through a lot right now, but I'm going to tell you what, it isn't about me, it's about him. Amen. First thing I want you to understand today, if we're going to be the church, let the church be the church, we got to communicate the Savior's life. Communicate the Savior's life. Notice in verse 5 again, look at it with me. For we preach not ourselves. I've told y'all from the very beginning whenever I came here, I don't want you going out and talking about how great a church we have. I want you going out and telling how great a Savior we have. I want you going and telling people about Jesus and that Jesus is in this place and we're seeing people saved and we're seeing these baptistry waters stirred. Remember when I came here 21 years ago this February, I told you that I pray that Lane Prairie Baptist Church will have the highest water bill of any church in Johnson County. And that isn't from you drinking from the fountains out there. It's from us filling this baptistry up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We need to be filling it up. And if we're being the church, we're communicating Jesus, we'll do that. See, if you're communicating Jesus, I'm communicating Jesus, we'll do that. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus. Notice what he says there. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord. By the way, we don't just say Christ Jesus. He is Lord. He is Kurios. He's the Lord of our lives, folks. We have something to tell. Amen? You know, we spend more time talking about the weather and about sports and about our hobbies and about everything else instead of we talking about Jesus. I want to ask you this year. I've asked you this every year. I'm going to ask you again this year. I'm praying that you personally will help one person come to know the Lord this year. One person. Who is your one? That's an emphasis in our Southern Baptist Convention right now. Who is your one? Who is that one person you know that's your friend, that's in your family, that you work with, that you go to school with? Who is your one that needs Jesus? Think about it. If every one of us reached one, what would happen? Well, we wouldn't have room to hold everybody, would we? But I don't know about you. I'd love to do that. I'd love for us to reach. I'd love for us to stir the waters every Sunday. I know there's been times at Lane Prairie we've stirred the waters 8 and 9 Sundays in a row. I want to get back to that. I want to see us continue to do what God's called us to do. But we've got to communicate the Savior's life, folks. It isn't about us. It's about him. If we're going to communicate the Savior's life, let me tell you, secondly, I want you to know that we got to make a commitment to a servant's life. Commitment to a servant's life. Notice what he says. Verse 5 again. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Do you see that? What are we to be about? Being a servant. Let me go back to that first point just a minute. What did the early church communicate? What do you find them communicating? When Peter stood up at Pentecost, what did he talk about? He say, hey, I want to tell you guys about some things that are happening in our world. No, he doesn't do that. I've told people when you go to church, if they don't open up the Word of God and share from the Word of God, you don't need to go to that church anymore. Because they ought to open this Word every Sunday, and they ought to expose the Scripture every Sunday and let you know the truth of God's Word. His Word is what changes people, not my words. And we need to understand that. We need to be about that. We need to understand that we have a commission from God. He says, go back to verse 1 a minute. I want you to see this. And we're going to be servants. He says, seeing that we have this ministry, we have a commission from God. God has called us, church. This is not a, catch this, this is not a received ministry. It isn't a cheap ministry. It's a received ministry from God. But not only that, we need to understand that we have compassion. He says, we have received mercy, we faint not. So yes, we communicate the Savior's life, but then we make a commitment to the servant's life. Remember I showed you there, he says, and it's ourselves, verse 5, your servants for Jesus' sake. What did Jesus do? What was the first thing he did with the disciples as he was preparing them for his death? In that upper room in John 13, what did he do? He took a basin of water, he took a towel, and he washed the feet of his disciples. And he told them, this you ought to do. You're obligated to be servants. Church, I want to challenge us this morning that God would raise up more servants at Lane Prairie, that we'd be servants of the Most High. I know we're going to go for a meal in just a little bit. Usually a lot of people go there, they eat, they let out a burp, then they walk out the door. Instead of any, you know, the same ladies every time clean the kitchen. The same men every time put the tables and chairs up. And you don't think that's the truth, it's the truth, I know. Because I've seen it. Wouldn't it be great if all of us became servants? We learned how to serve one another. We learned how to wash each other's feet. People need their feet washed, not literally, but figuratively. Those that are hurting need their feet washed. Those that are lonely need their feet washed. Those that have special needs need their feet washed. God has called us to do that, church. We're to be servants, and when we understand we're servants, God will bless us above measure. But thirdly, quickly this morning, not only, catch this, are we to communicate the Savior's life, and we're to make a commitment to the servant's life. Thirdly, we got to have a crucifixion of the self life. Notice what he says. I want you going down with me in the scriptures. But we, verse 7, notice it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. And by the way, it's of God whenever we give him glory. It's of God when we're lifting up Jesus. And then notice what it says in verse 10. Here it is. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You see that, church? Death worketh in us. We got to have a crucifixion of the self-life. We got to die to ourselves. We got to die to our plans. We got to die to our purposes. We got to die to our schedule. I don't know. I'm still one of those old-timey preachers that think people ought to come back to church on Sunday night. Well, that had a great amen there. We ought to. You know, there was a time in our world that the church was the focus of the community. There was. There was a time when I pastored churches, we'd have almost as many back on Sunday night we had on Sunday morning. Because people focused on the church, and they put their life around the church, and it made a difference in their families. It made a difference in their personal lives. Because the church was the focus. Folks, that's what we need to get back to. Oh, there's so many things today that are distracting people. And we're not crucifying the self-life. Because listen, when we crucify the self-life, catch this. He says, death worketh in us and life in you. Let me tell you what. The more dead you are, the more alive Jesus is. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I got to die daily that Jesus' life would be manifest through my life. That people wouldn't see Jerry Clements, they would see Jesus, folks. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. And then the last thing I want you to see, not only must we communicate the Savior's life, put Jesus first and commit to the servant's life and crucify the self-life. Last and not least, we must concentrate on the secret life. I'm convinced that Paul, at the end of this chapter, tells us the secret of not giving up, not quitting. That word faint, by the way, means to lose heart for the work, to lose your heart for God, to lose your diligence in being a servant, to lose your ability to share the gospel. You say, well, I'm just tired. Well, I know what tiredness is. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep preaching till the Lord calls me home. I'm going to keep serving till he calls me home. And isn't that what he called us to do, church? Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Let me tell you what, the key, here's the secret, don't miss this. The inward man's got to be renewed day by day. How's that renewed? You renew the inward man through the word of God and through prayer. Yes. Amen? There's no shortcut. You can say, oh, well, I'm going to renew the inner man. I'm just kind of going to get this by osmosis. I'm going to put a Bible underneath my pillow at night, and all of a sudden scriptures are going to come up in my head. That doesn't work. You got to be in the word of God every day. You got to be in prayer. You got to get in that prayer closet. You got to spend time with the master. And that's how you renew yourself. That's how you renew the inner man. Because the outward man does perish. We're perishing every day. We're one day closer to death than we were yesterday. But let me tell you what, for the Christian, that's victory. Praise God. But we're to concentrate on the secret life. He says in Luke verse 17, I love this part. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Can you imagine that? What had Paul gone through? You look at chapter 11. He went through shipwreck. He was stoned with stones at Lystra. He had gone through beatings. He had gone through being in prison. He had been in the perils of robbers and the perils of his own countrymen and the perils of water. He had been through all of that stuff. And he says, our light affliction. I don't know about you, every time I have affliction, it's pretty heavy. But you know what? When we have the Lord, it's light. Because he wants to take that off of us. As the Lumpkin so wonderfully sang, we have Jesus. He's there with us every step of the way, church. Trust him. We're to focus on the secret life, folks. And then look on down with me in our text. Look at what he says. Verse 18. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Where you focus will determine your outcome. I'll tell you three things I want you to see here. First of all, we got to value the spiritual strength over physical strength. You need spiritual strength a whole lot more than you need physical strength. Amen? And that doesn't come back by you just walking to the church on Sunday. You know, it's amazing to me. People come to church on Sunday. That's the only time they're here. And that's all they're fed the word of God because they don't read it during the week. And they're wondering why they're not growing in Christ. They're wondering why they're not growing in Christ, doing more for the kingdom. Why? Because they hadn't focused on Jesus. They're just coming to church to make them feel good. You should never come to church to make you feel good. You ought to come to church to meet Jesus. You ought to come to church that you might hear from the Word of God, and that Word will take you on through the week as you have times with the Savior each day. Word of look, that word look comes from the Greek word that means scope or telescope. Word of focus, word of value the spiritual over physical strength. Secondly, word of value the eternal over the temporary. Look back at verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things that are seen. In other words, too many of us are focusing on what we can see. What do we see? Well, we see what we can see instead of what God can see. You know what's amazing to me? God sees something in us that nobody else sees. God saw something in that woman at the well. The Lord said, I've got water that you can drink of that you'll never thirst again. And she got saved, folks. She saw something. She had had five husbands and was living with another man. But Jesus saw something in her. And I'll tell you, I've got good news this morning. Jesus sees something in you that nobody else sees. And he wants you to reach your potentiality. He wants you to reach where he wants you to go. The goal that you would have for Jesus. We got to value the eternal over the temporary. Things. Let me tell you what. Those things that you and I have, we're not taking them with us. Hello? I've never seen a hearse pull in a boat or jet skis or one of your favorite possessions. None of that stuff belongs to us. It's all the Lord's. Amen? Because he's given it to us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. In Psalm 24, verse 1. It's his. Everything we have, everything we own, it's his. That's the reason when we come on Sunday morning, we give a tithe. We're just honoring God because we know all of it's his. And then thirdly, we need to value the future over the present. You know, so many of us, we focus so much on what we can see, this present stuff. And the Lord says, I've got so much more for you. That's right. I'm going to tell you something, church. God bless Lane Prairie Baptist Church above measure. He has. But let me tell you what. We cannot sit on our laurels. It's time for us to get up and let the church be the church. It's time for us to get up and go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The problem we have is we're looking at everything else about Jesus. And I tell you this morning, if you look at others, you'll get discouraged. Because we're imperfect. Your pastor's not perfect. I can tell you that right up front. You don't have a perfect pastor. This is not a perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, let me tell you what, it's not going to take place till Jesus comes. Because one day he's going to present us spotless before him. Amen? That's called the glorification. We're involved in the sanctification right now, being set apart for that reason. But when we focus on others, we get discouraged. When we focus on ourselves, as Charles Swindoll says, we have ingrownus eyeballitis. Ingrown eyeballs. Some people live that way of their life. They're always focused on themselves. It's always everybody else is wrong. I'm right. Oh, they're critical of this or critical of this or critical of this. Oh, folks, get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off you and get your eyes on Jesus. We must not focus on others. We must not focus on ourselves. We can't look back. We got to look forward. What should be our focus? Our focus ought to be Jesus. Put your eyes on him. Remember over there in Hebrews chapter 12, right after the hallmark of faith in chapter 11? He says, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience the races set before us. And we're to put aside the sin that easily besets us. And then he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. See, some of us have gotten our eyes off Jesus. Some churches have gotten their eyes off Jesus. It's all about advertising. Pastor wants to sell another book, sell another program. We're not here to sell things, folks. We're here to proclaim things. And the church is the church when we do what God's called us to do. This is his church, not ours. For some here today, what you need is you need Jesus. And I'm inviting you this morning. You maybe been to our church several times and you felt that tug in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you this morning to come take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus today. Others here today, God's drawing you to this church to be a part of this fellowship. Maybe you've been visiting for a while or visiting for a little bit. But if God's calling you, if he's drawing you to Lane Prairie, I invite you to come today and say, we want to be a part of a church that's going to focus on Jesus. We want to be a part of a church that's going to be servants. We're going to be a part of a church that are understanding they got to die themselves in order for Christ to come forth in their lives. We want to be a part of a church that puts their eyes on Jesus. If you want to be a charter church like that, I invite you to come. Others here today, or maybe you're going through a trial or tribulation, the Lord will help you today. I want some of our ladies in the invitation time today to gather around Lynn Metter and pray for her. See, the church is the church when we're the body, when we function as a body, when we're fitted together as a building, and when we're the bride. Or in Ephesians, you find that. And so Lynn is here today. Lynn, raise your hand so everybody can see where you're at. Right in the middle there. Some of you ladies, I want y'all in the invitation time to gather around her, pray over her. It's her first surgery she's ever had. But you know what? That's why we're here. We're the body. When one of the body hurts, all of us hurt. When one of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. Is God calling you to Jesus today? Is he calling you to join this church? Answer the call of God. Let's let the church be the church. And when we do that, we got to get out of the way, because let me tell you what, God's fixing to do something big and great when we do these things. Let's stand together.